Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? A very good Wednesday to you. I am Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California, and we are coming to you from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently, the Quicken Loan Studios. What's going on? How's your hump day going? All right, let me lay out the program for you. All over the Raiders and John Gruden in the open. I'm going to get there in 1 minute. But in the meantime, let me hit you up. Telephone number is toll-free. Phone lines are wide open. Our first guest is not until 9:40 Pacific time, so now is a great time for you to try to get through. Use that number. It's been a really, really good call run since the start of the year, and we went simulcast on CBS Sports Network. Use the telephone number. Come in here now, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. Three best ways to get through. Best content goes right to the front of the line. Hit us up. Call me, tweet at me, email me. All right, the show sets up like this. At 40 past, I've got a running back for the Baltimore Ravens, Alex Collins. In hour number two, an in-studio guest, very, very large dude, Orlando Brown. Oklahoma Sooner tackle, declaring for the draft. He's going to be a first-round pick. You might remember his father, Zeus Brown, played a long time in the NFL. Orlando Brown, he's got a great story. He will be in studio, and that's in hour number two. Third hour, Atlanta Falcons safety, Ricardo Allen. We have a full show. Man, I'm hyped. I'm hyped because the phone calls have been so good. I expect you to keep this thing coming. Hit us up right now, toll-free. Now, where I want to start is with the Raiders. I want to start with Raider fan. Raider fan, the day that you have dreamed about is finally here. Today is the first day of the full return of John Gruden. And if you didn't think that that was a big deal, then I've got news for you. It's a very big deal. In fact, according to owner Mark Davis, it's the biggest deal. A big bleeping deal. Again, not my words, but his. Raider Nation, and I quote, "This is a big effing deal," end quote. It's Mark Davis now. It's not like most team owners are going to roll out and drop a semi-F-bomb at an introductory news conference. But then again, Mark Davis is not like most team owners. And that was not like most introductory pressers. 16 years after Gruden first left, this was more like some kind of family reunion, complete with Raider fans busting out their old Chucky dolls, the Tuck Rule references. The entire crew was there. Jim Otto, Tim Brown, Charles Woodson, R. Rich Gannon, Tom Flores, Ted Hendricks. The list goes on and on and on. I mean, it was wild. So again, the first question. Davis gets his dude. He gets his dude, but exactly what is he going to get? And what's he going to get for that reported 100 mil? Who is he getting? Is he going to get the guy who was a rock star in his first 5 years, who went 50-30 and he won a Super Bowl? Or are they going to get the guy who went 45-51 with no playoff wins the rest of the way? And another question I have, how is this guy a better coach after being out of the grind for nearly a decade than he was when he left? And don't tell me the guy never left. I keep hearing that. Yeah, well, he never left. He did games. He was on Monday Night Football. He still went to all the meetings. He talked to coaches. He talked to players. Listen, covering a game a week and hosting a quarterback show is not the same thing as grinding it out in the trenches, preparing with players and coaches, and actually doing the job against the very best there is week in and week out, year after year. So don't tell me he never left the game. He didn't leave the game. He left coaching. So he'd tell you that, yeah, well, I didn't lose once in those 8 years. Right, Chuck, but you didn't win once either in those 8 years. I mean, everybody's freaking out like this guy's Belichick, Lombardi, Knoll, Shula, and Walsh all rolled into one. Since when? Since when? Point is, you don't know what you're getting. You have no idea what you're getting, not when you hire a guy who has been out for 8 years. So this guy's name has come up every single year since he went into TV. The question is, why was the time right now? Why did he take this gig? Gruden says, quote, "The timing is right. It really does not have anything to do with the contract. I just want to be a part of the Raiders again," end quote. So dude literally just threw the "it's not about the money" card. Now that's rich. That's really rich. especially since this guy was already filthy rich. And the owner just made him the highest paid coach in NFL history. But it's not about the money. As always, anytime somebody says it's not about the money, it's about one thing, the money. How does a dude put his name on the line that is dotted? How does that guy, same guy say, and he's about to make $100 million over 10 years. How does that same guy say it's not about the money? Hey, listen, Chuck, stop. Stop. I don't blame you for doing what you're doing. In fact, I would blame you if you didn't do what you're doing. Just don't tell me it's not about the money. Of course it's about the money. Stop acting like you love the Raiders more than money, because you don't. If you love the Raiders more than money, you would have taken that job the first six times that Mark Davis allegedly offered it to you. And there's more. There's more. He also said at the presser yesterday, he does not know how much the Raiders are going to pay him. Quote, I don't really know the terms. All I know is that this year I'll be coaching in Oakland and next year I'll be coaching in Oakland. Wait, what? You don't know what the terms of the deal are. You're making $100 million over 10 years. We all know that, but you yourself don't know. I mean, come on, man. Who quits an amazing job without knowing how much that amazing job they just left is going to pay them now going forward? I mean, why even waste time with that? Why spit that kind of nonsense? Why insult everybody's intelligence with that garbage? If this is how this is going to go, Chuck, if you're going to treat us like straight morons, you best start stacking Lombardis immediately, because folks are not going to tolerate it. If you don't want to talk about how much money you make, if you don't want to talk about what they're paying you, I get it. That's fine. Just don't tell us you have no idea how much they're paying you. I mean, I would never call a guy like that. I would never call a guy with that pedigree a liar. I'll just say that there isn't anyone anywhere who believes what you just said. Oh, and if it's not too much to ask, this is directed to you clones. If it's not too much to ask, can we just stick to the football aspect of this? Because I know that for whatever reason, a number of you have a fascination with the way Mark Davis looks. Not me, not at all. Not ever. So don't come in here trying to tell me that Mark Davis cuts his own hair, or that Kirk Heinrich cuts Davis's hair, or that they cut each other's hair, or that they do it with a spoon, or that the only reason he hired Gruden is because they have the same barber, or that dude owns a Flowbee or some other contraption that functions as both a hair clipper and a vacuum cleaner. Don't come in here with any of that. It's extremely weak sauce, and you need to save that garbage for your local show. So if you want to thumb out a tweet asking whether or not he slammed that bowl of soup before they put that bowl on his head for that haircut, man, just delete your account, because that's not what I'm about. That's not what I'm about. I'm about what happens on the field. So let's talk about that. 1-800-636-8686. I'm about the Raiders as much as the next guy, but I'm even more about the so-called Raider myopia. And it was on view yesterday, was it not? Man, they had everybody there. The entire fam was there. Mark Davis was F-bombing on the hire. And there's Chuck saying, that's what I've been waiting for. I'm ready to do this thing. Hey, I hope so. I hope so. I hope it works out. I hope they get that rock star and not that guy who couldn't get anything going the last 5-6 years he was in Tampa Bay. 1-800-636-8686. All right, some other topics. No sooner than Nick Saban got that sixth national championship yesterday, his fifth in 9 years, the speculation immediately started about whether or not he might make a return to the NFL. And one of the first teams that came up, the New York Giants. I want to talk about whether or not that could ever happen, whether or not that makes any sense whatsoever. Also, generally, this is a LaVar Ball-free zone. I think you know that. Not because I hate that guy, because I don't hate that guy. I just have no interest in that guy whatsoever. So generally, I'm not that guy who's trying to get a mic in his face or a camera in his face, and I go hot-taking with it, and I'm looking for cheap clicks. It's not my deal. The guy just does not interest me at all, except going on with what's going on with the Lakers right now, it's kind of hard to ignore. It's kind of hard to ignore when he's trying to get the head coach of the LA Lakers fired. One thing to get the head coach at Chino Hills High School fired, quite another to try to get the LA Lakers head coach fired, which is what the guy was doing, essentially. But the thing is, my take is not so much about LaVar Ball. My take is about the Lakers. They should have known what they were doing when they drafted Lonzo. They should have known this is what this old man would do. It was pretty naive to think that he was not going to run his mouth and bump his gums. It's essentially who he is. Not only who he is, it's his brand. It's his business. This is how the guy does business. It's his oxygen. The Lakers should have known this. I'm actually putting this more on them than I am him because they should have known. And they didn't know. But now they do. So the question is, what are they going to do about it? I really hope I don't get here. I really hope that I don't get to that story that's not a new story that we've heard before that you clones are all about. And that's the fact that the juice might be Chloe's pop. Allegedly, reportedly, come on, seriously? I hope I don't get to that story. I really don't. Patriots back in action this weekend. They're going up against the Titans. Nobody's given them any chance of losing that game at all. One of the reasons for that, Tom Brady is bitter. Now he's bent. We've seen all sorts of different Tom Bradys. But now we see Brady the heel, Brady the villain, Brady the bitterman. He's upset with that ESPN report still yet. And I want to talk about what that means to him and the Pats and the Titans and everybody else. Let's check the email and the tweets before I go to break. Starting with Twitter, Rex in the ABQ tweets, Jim, it doesn't matter who coaches the Raiders. The commitment to excrement will always live on. Right on brand, Rex, thanks for nothing. Hey, listen, that's not on Rex, dummies in the control room. You got to know that that's what that guy's going to do. Do not bring me excrement tweets. There's a moratorium on that. I know some of you in the XR4TI are a little bit newer to this still yet. Maybe I should have told you guys, we have a moratorium on commitment to excrement. In fact, I've got a moratorium on any fourth grade dribble. Got that, Hawk. It's still your room back there, Hawk. Even if you didn't find that, you're responsible for it. That never happened. Hey, Avi, you should know better. Come on, man. Let's see. Dan Dean tweets, Rome, of course, Raider fan is pumped. This hire does exactly what Raider fan likes best. It lets them live in the past. Let me just be straight about one thing with John Gruden. I'm not saying that it can't work. I'm not even saying that it won't work. I'm saying I'm really skeptical about this thing. And what's all the hype about? And when did this guy become Shula, Lombardi, Belichick, Noel, and my man Bill Cowher all rolled into one? When did that happen? Hey, Raider fan, you do know that Super Bowl that he won was not with you. You do know that they traded this guy. You know all those things, right? I'm telling you, there's just this weird deal, and I'll get to it later on. There's a weird deal when guys go away, and then if guys are on TV and guys get any TV shine whatsoever, all of a sudden, as time goes on, they get better and better and better and better. And all of a sudden, they're this amazing coach. Herm Edwards is coaching again. I'd explain that. Same reason. On TV, big personality. This email says, Johnny Romes, what's the worry? John Gruden will do just fine after taking 10 years off. Trust me, I would know. Signed, high A, minor league superstar, Timothy Richard Tebow. Ken in Mission Viejo wore the age-old parenting technique of tricking their kids into doing something by saying, hurry up, I'm going to time you. Go, go. Ken in Mission Viejo, is that not my man? With the swimming pool? No, Stephen Aliso. My bad. Same part of the county. Yeah, obviously that's not Stephen Aliso, or Stephen Aliso would have reminded me. He's got a tennis court, he's got a swimming pool, a USC education, and a Duke education. Phil in Dallas tweets, it feels like the Raiders scored a tickle me Elmo. After all the hype and effort, it might just be an overpriced giggling puppet. Hey, listen, we're hearing all those same old things about Gruden, what makes him so different. the passion, the fact that he gets up at 3:17 in the morning. He's going to challenge Derek Carr. They're going to have to learn to work now. Yeah, it's fine and well, but he wasn't doing these things for the past 9 years, was he? He was just being on TV. Being on TV as an analyst and, frankly, not telling anybody anything that we didn't already know. Hey, but we'll see. Maybe that guy needed a nine-year battery charge. Maybe it's going to work out. I'm just saying I'm not going to ride shoddy with all of you Raider fans that are assuming that it's all good because Gruden's back. If it was all good, why did they trade him in the first place? At Fake K. Winslow tweets, did Mark Davis give John Fooden a fat contract to match his fat belly? At this point, I think I'd rather hear from the real Kellen Winslow. Listen, I just said, let's not make this about this guy's hair. Or about really either of their hair. Let's keep to what it means to the franchise. Let's talk about what it means on the field. Let's stick to football, ghouls.
All y'all take this down. I'm pissed.
Personal appearance is not show fodder. Still. Didn't I lay that out in the open? Was I not clear about that? We're not talking about how this guy cuts his hair, or if he cuts his own hair, or if Kirk Heinrich cuts his hair, or if they cut each other's hair with butter knives. Who cares, man? Who cares? Let me tell you something. I'm glad this guy doesn't spend money on haircuts. It means every last dime goes into the franchise. He's about football. You may try to wreck my radio show. I'm not going to let you. You might try to wreck my TV show. I'm not letting that happen either. All right, so let's get it. Step it up. Alex Collins coming up at 40 past. Orlando Brown in studio in hour number two.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Baltimore Ravens running back Alex Collins coming up in about 15 minutes. Hey, Raider fan, I know you love it. And again, I'm not putting myself out there to say this is the worst thing ever. This is the worst hire ever. I'm not saying that they can't win with this guy. I'm just saying I would not assume that you're going to start stacking Super Bowls now, and I'm skeptical. The guy has something to prove. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you make it sound like, as I mentioned, he's all these amazing coaches rolled into one. Trust me, the guy's got something to prove. He's been away for a long time. Hasn't been in the trenches doing it for a long time. Hey, but let's not let that get in the way of an amazing presser, because that was a great, great day for the Raiders.
The rumors are reality.
I like the mystique of the Raiders, and I like being a part of it.
Tell the tight end to work the middle. Goes, 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 goes.
This is a Raiders hype video. The hype video they put up themselves to introduce Chuck.
Heads up for 200 yet. Tell Ricky to look cute. We're in field goal race. Be smart here.
Recognize this face?
Yeah.
It's all over their social, too. It's on their Twitter feed, at the presser. I mean, that was a wacky press conference. So if they were looking to win the presser, I guess they did that. High production value, lots of hype, a few F-bombs. Chuck in all his glory. And yes, clones, an ill-fitting suit for the owner, which I also do not care about. Don't care about a sleeve. Don't care about the suit. Don't care about the haircut. Don't care about the flip phone. Don't care about that minivan he's rolling around in. If anything, all those things tell me he's not spending his money on things that don't matter. My man isn't fancy. Every last dime is going into the team, which is good. He's committed. He got his guy. He got his idol, but his father fired the guy. Check that. Traded the guy. So, Raider fan, I think I already know how you feel about this, but go ahead, Raider fan. Tell me how you feel about this. Let's go to Oakland. Evan in Oakland. Good morning, Evan. What's up?
How you doing, Jim?
Good. Evan, how about you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm here in Oakland, and without question, this is the right hire. It makes sense. But John Gruden, if it's not about the money, then why are you taking so much money? Why are you taking the most money ever, right? And so, of course, they're going to have a better year. They're going to improve. anything would be a better year after this year. Jack Del Rio, why anyone thought that was a good hire, I have no idea, okay? But so they're going to improve. They're going to win some games. People are going to get excited about the Raiders. They're going to get excited about John Gruden. Hey, they might even make it to the playoffs, okay? But they're never going to get over the hump. They're never going to make it to the Super Bowl. And so how can they ever win the Super Bowl? Because they're not going to make it.
Why do you say that?
And, you know,
why do you say that? Why do you say they'll never get over the hump and they'll never win the Super Bowl? How come?
Because I've been here for a long time and I've seen the way the organization is run, and they're not capable of doing it. Uh-huh. I mean, I want to believe with these people here and everything as well, just like everybody else, that something's going to happen. But they always find a way. They're too dysfunctional as a program.
All right, let me tell you this, Evan. Let me jump in. Thanks very much for that. When you say, I don't know why anybody thought that Jack Del Rio was a good hire, consider me one of those guys who said that Jack Del Rio was a good hire. And can I tell you something? It looked like he was a good hire. Derek Carr looked like he was an MVP. And then, unfortunately, Derek Carr snapped his stick, and things were not the same after that. Look, I'm not saying that Jack Del Rio did a great job last year. I'm not saying that there wasn't dysfunction, nor am I saying that a change didn't have to be made. They made their change. They went with their guy. They got the guy they wanted. That's fine. I'm just saying I'm skeptical, and I'm not sure what guy they're getting. I don't know if they're getting that rock star who tore it up in his first few years in the league and won a Super Bowl, or if they're getting that guy that went to Tampa and then didn't make the playoffs or didn't win a playoff game in his last 3 years when he was sub-500. You know, Chucky's pretty clever about this whole thing. He said yesterday when he was asked about that on ESPN, he said, let me tell you something. I did a better job coaching in Tampa Bay than I did at any time in my life. The numbers do not always tell the truth. They don't always tell the whole story. Yeah, maybe they do and maybe they don't. But I'm telling you, over time, because this guy's been on TV and he had this shtick, he's morphed into this super legend as a head coach. The guy was a good head coach. The guy won a Super Bowl. But just bringing this guy back does not guarantee anything. In fact, bringing this guy back after he's been out for nearly 9 years tells me that that's not only a big swing, that's a gamble. There are no sure things, but especially not bringing back a guy who's been in it this long. You know, there's one thing to take a year off, rejuvenate, revitalize, and then it's another to be going up against the best in the business who've been in it year after year, grinding away in the dark room, being in big games, winning big games. So the one argument that I really don't buy is this whole thing about, yeah, he never left. He's been talking to coaches. Mark Davis is all, he's got this database, man. The guy's amazing. He worked at ESPN. He had access to all these things. Not the same. Having a pregame sit down with a coaching staff because they're partners with the league is not the same as being in the trenches with your players, with your coaches, and grinding it out week after week, month after month, year after year. So that whole argument that he never left. Yes, he did. That's part of my argument. He left for nearly a decade. And the other thing, this whole money thing, I hate talking about money. Like, what people make to me really is nobody's business. I don't want you knowing what I make. I don't need to know what you make. But if you're that guy, don't tell me it's not about the money. Don't tell me it's all about the Raiders. Once again, anytime somebody says it's not about the money, it's about one thing, the money. And whatever you do, don't tell me, I don't know what I'm making. I don't know what the contract is. Who gives up the best job in our business to take another job without asking how much that job pays? Why are you wasting your time with nonsense like that? If you want to answer the $100 million question by saying, hey, you know what, that's none of your business. That's between me and the owner. Fine. I'll take that all day long. Just whatever you do, don't tell me, hey, I didn't read the contract. I don't know what the terms of that contract are. Hey, maybe you know. Brock in the 402 tweets, Mark Davis cutting his hair with butter knives and spoons, and OJ being Chloe's baby daddy, it's going to be a great day in the jungle. Brock, what did you not hear me say? I said those things are not topics on the program. It's going to be a great day in the jungle, because that's what I want to be known for. OJ possibly being Chloe's pop, and guys cutting their hair with spoons. Yeah, that's my brand. How do you think I survived 30 years in this business? By running garbage like that. Garbage. Yeah, that's what I'm known for. That's what I want to be known for. Not good interviews, not sharp takes, not a flair, not a little bit of showmanship. Nope. I want to be known as the guy who speculated as to whether or not OJ got with his best friend's wife. That's what I want to be known for. Hey, Brock, keep my name and your topics out your mouth, off Twitter, and off this show altogether. You're bringing me down. Because, you know, you're taking food off my plate, and that's not cool. When we come back, Alex Collins, Ravens running back, joins me. Orlando Brown right here in studio a little bit later on. Ricardo Allen, Falcons safety in hour number three. Also, my thoughts as to whether or not Nick Saban is going to take one last run in the NFL. The guy's got nothing left to prove in the college game. Why not go to the NFL, right? And if you're going to go to the NFL, why not take arguably the best job in the NFL? The Giants' job. You can't believe any of that. Stay tuned. First things first, I got a sports update for you. Better late than never.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a good day. It's a really good day. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Alex Collins of the Ravens joins me momentarily. It's a Wednesday, so it's time to ask the pros, where you get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question there. You know I'm going to answer one of them a little bit later on. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer services at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Also, I've got a brand new TV studio, so we're going to try and move some people through here. Coming up next hour, in studio, Orlando Brown, who is a former Oklahoma Sooner. He's got an amazing backstory, and one of the top offensive linemen in the nation, should be a high first-round pick. He'll join me in studio next hour. Look for that. I'm still looking for your telephone calls. We talked about the Raiders for the first half hour. I want to get into Nick Saban and whether or not he might take a shot at the NFL, but as promised, we're joined by a running back for the Baltimore Ravens. Had a big season. 212 carries, 973 yards, 6 touchdowns. Over 1,100 yards from scrimmage this season. He was an SEC Freshman of the Year, a Freshman All-American, an SEC All-Freshman Team, also when he was at Arkansas. He was taken number 171st overall in the 2016 draft. And today he appears on behalf of Vizio and their Top Value Performer TVP Award. Alex Collins is my guest. Alex, good morning. Great to have you on. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Good, good, bud. I'm doing really well. Lots to talk about. Let me first talk about the end of the season. You came into week 17 with a chance to reach the playoffs. You had it ripped from you in the final minute of the game. I mean, not a great thing to bring up, but I got to ask, what's going through your head when Andy Dalton hits Tyler Boyd for that touchdown with only 44 seconds left?
It was heart-crushing because the whole time on the sideline, we just went down and we scored. We're up by 3 points. You know, we think the game's over. We got them all the way down to this fourth and 15 from maybe like the 45-yard line. And then, you know, just from the momentum swing and everything, it was just heart-crushing just to see him catch that ball down the middle and score a touchdown. You know, it was just, you know, out of all the possible outcomes, you know, the worst one. So it was just heart-crushing.
Alex Collins joining me. You know, I can respect that, certainly, but it seems to me like there's this whole other level. I mean, it's one thing to have the situation, the down and distance, but can you explain what it's like to put in the work that you all put in all year long to put yourself in that position to get to the postseason and then just miss it? What about that angle when you consider the sacrifices you all made?
Oh, definitely. We took in a lot of sacrifices, and just from the season itself, you know, having a lot of ups and downs, you know, we win a few, we lose a few, we don't know where we're going to end up towards the end of the season. And then just to have that hope, just knowing that there's that possibility that we can go, and just to give those veterans that opportunity to compete in the playoffs again, and just being there and having that experience, you know, it was all there, and it was all on the line, and just to have it taken away, you know, all of that hard work and effort you put in, just, you know, it's heart-crushing.
We're talking to Alex Collins. You know, no doubt, you're not going to make it about yourself, but let me have you make it about yourself for a minute, because while the season did not go the way you wanted, you yourself had an amazing year. I mean, if we go back a few months, you were with the Seahawks, and then they released you at the end of the preseason. So at that time, what was your mindset, and where were you emotionally when you found out they let you go?
My mindset, emotionally, I was all over the place, just not knowing, you know, what to do, being released, and just having to sign. So my mindset was just all over the place emotionally as well. But, you know, getting that new opportunity, you know, with just me, you know, like being a hard worker, just trying to take the most advantage of that opportunity I had, you know, just going over to Baltimore, I just, you know, made this pack and made these goals that every day, no matter the circumstance, every opportunity I get, I just want to give it 110% effort and, you know, wish for the best as far as the outcome. You know, as long as I'm just putting it all into that and doing all that I have, you know, at the end of the day, whether it worked out or not, I knew in the back of my mind that I gave it my all and I gave it my best effort.
Yeah, see, to me, that's the thing, because guys raved about that very fact, that when you signed with the practice squad, and one of the things that you said was you were going to approach that opportunity like you were a starting player. You were going to attack it like you were the starting player. So that work ethic you speak of, where did the attitude, the mindset, and that work ethic come from?
It just can't come from a long journey, and, you know, just, you know, always having to persevere through, you know, all the different circumstances and just, you know, you never start off at the top, especially, you know, in this profession. And then, you know, I came in there with that work ethic, you know, just to push myself and then always just believing in myself, because that's where it starts. You know, you have to see yourself, you know, before others can see you there. And that's just the vision I have for myself, you know, while I'm here on the practice squad. I just saw myself as the starter, and I, you know, took in that mindset of I need to do all it takes and more to get to that position, because, you know, first have to see it to believe it, then you have to put in the work to make it possible. And that's all I did. I just put my head down and just marked that X on the calendar and just kept giving it 100%, 10% effort, just knowing that, you know, the hard work will eventually pay off, you know, with opportunity.
Yeah, Alex, I'm not sure what it is.
Always being prepared for every moment.
Right, and you were. When you got that opportunity, you made the most of it. I'm not sure how to describe it. Help me with this. Like, I don't want to say that you run angry, because I don't think you're angry. I'm talking to you right now. You don't sound angry. But, man, there's something. There's something there. I don't know what that mission is, what that chip is, but you run with something. There's some it. How would you describe your running style, and how do you think it? How would you describe it?
I think you described it perfectly, and that's exactly my mindset. When I'm out there, I just have this relentless mindset, and it's just I'm always in my mind when I'm out there, and it's just, you know, I tell myself, and I put all of these different thoughts in my head. It's just, it allows me to play with that passion and that aggression that the position needs, but you know, sometimes you can overdo it and cloud your mind, but I always try to do it to that point where, you know, I'm running with that anger and that passion, but at the same time, I'm playing smart and making the right decisions out there. So that's definitely my mindset, just trying not to, like, my goal, like, as a runner especially, is just always to not let the first person tackle me, like, to have this mindset that it's going to take more than one of these guys to bring me down. And that's why I just run so angrily, because, you know, I just kind of, like, look at it as, like, almost like as an embarrassment to let the first guy bring me down. Like, there was no effort at all. I wanted to feel like that. You know, I want to make them, like, feel me. So I just run with this anger and make it hard for those guys to bring me down.
Seems to me it's personal. You know, guys always say, it's not personal, it's business. Let me tell you something, it's personal. It's almost always personal, and the great ones make it personal. So I don't think there's anything to apologize for. Now, look, a lot of people are familiar with your background in Irish dancing, but you are multidimensional beyond that. Growing up, you were an excellent lacrosse player. How did you first get started in lacrosse? What did you like about that sport?
I first got started in lacrosse. I was a junior in high school, and they were having tryouts. It was after football season, and I wasn't even going to the tryouts. I was in jeans. I was in a collared shirt leaving school, and one of our football coaches, Coach Rose, he was the head lacrosse coach out there coaching those guys, and he called me over, and then everybody was just practicing the face off. And then he asked me to try it, and then I just got down there, and then I just was beating everybody at the face-off, and I was just thinking, like, you know, I could be really good at this, and then that's what originally got me out there. And then I originally started off just only doing face-off, and I got involved more on the field and just grew a passion for it. It was just a lot of fun out there if you're throwing a different sport and having that new experience of getting better, working hard, trying to outwork guys, and just seeing that, you know, the progression, it just made me hungry to want to be even better.
Then on top of that, you're one of the nominees for the Vizio Top Value Performer Award, especially coming off the year you had. What's that award about? How can the fans go about voting for that award?
The TVP award, it recognizes the player who's on-field performance most received the value of their contract. And, you know, just to, you know, qualify for that, it's an honor, you know, for people, you know, who watch me play and to think and to recognize me and to see that, you know, the hard work and effort I've put in to do that is, you know, I've exceeded the value of my contract. It's just an honor, you know. I go in there just with my heart, put my head down and work hard and just, you know, hoping for the best out there on the Sundays, and just to be put in that category, you know, is just, you know, I just feel like all that hard work and effort is paying off, and I'm, you know, in that right direction. I just need to keep pushing.
Hey, listen, you earned that honor, and I'd say that you've earned everything that's come your way. The 171st pick overall in 2016, coming off a year where you had over 1,100 yards from scrimmage, and appearing today on behalf of Vizio and the Top Value Performer Award. Alex, my man, great job. Really nice to have you on the program, and I'll look forward to doing that again next season. That was great.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, Alex. Thank you very much. Alex Collins, your thoughts, Ravens fans. I love the way this guy plays. He runs. You know how I said, you know, I'm not going to say you run angry. And he kind of laid out, yeah, I run pretty angry. I run with anger. I run with passion. I've got things in my head. It's true. I don't know any running back who's not tough at that level, but there's something about that guy, like that next level. I'm having trouble finding the words to describe it. He runs with something. There's something in that guy. There's some kind of mission. And like he said, it's embarrassing for the first guy to bring me down. Hence, it's personal. I never understood that. Guys always say, yeah, it's not personal. It's business. Yeah, of course it's personal. Everything is personal when it comes to things like that. All the best ones make it personal. You're going to tell me it wasn't personal to Michael Jordan? It wasn't personal to Kobe Bryant? It wasn't personal to the best ever? Is Tom Brady doesn't take all those slights personally? They should. What? The reason it's personal is that's the fuel they run on. The point that I'm trying to make about Alex Collins, God, it's great to have Ravens on. They're always good, the Ravens. He's running on a different sort of fuel. I'm always trying to get in a guy like that's head, like, dude, where does that come from? Are you wired for it? Is it your background? Are you a product of your environment? Did you come out like that? Is it because guys doubted you? You have that edge that we're all looking for. Where does it come from? All right, we're coming up next hour. Top of the hour, my thoughts on Nick Saban and whether or not he's ready to make one more move to the NFL. That's next. You're in the jungle. Don't go anywhere.